on Knight's Car Advice with Trent Nicolich. Thanks to caradvice.com. Every new car, every last detail.
Yes, here he is, the man with a two-story house with two bedrooms, two bathrooms and a 37-car garage. Trent Nicolich, good evening to you.
Oh, I wish, boys. I wish. If I had that much space, I could certainly fill it up, let me tell you.
Plenty of test drives as usual this week. We'll start with the Hyundai i30.
Yeah, look, that's an interesting one, mate. Very, very important vehicle for Hyundai in that segment. And it's a vehicle that really symbolises the movement that these South Korean companies are making, their increase in popularity. And when you look around the streets in any of the major cities in Australia, you see a lot of vehicles like the i30 on the road. Kia do the same sort of thing with Cerato. And we've given the i30 an 8.5 out of 10. This is an international launch drive, so this is our first taste of the new vehicle that we'll be getting later in the year. We don't know yet things like pricing and specification and stuff like that, but they've made some big changes to it. And once again, as I've spoken before with you guys, we'll get a local suspension tune as well. So before this vehicle is launched in Australia, there'll be plenty of R&D done here locally by Hyundai's engineers to get the suspension set up just right for Australian road.
I got a lot of time for Korean motoring. The thing about the Hyundais, correct me if I'm wrong here, Trent, but are they actually styled in Europe? Because they're really stylish cars.
Yeah,
funny you should ask that question. I've actually visited the Hyundai Design Center, which is just outside Berlin in Germany, obviously. And when you meet the design team, they're headed up by a Swiss guy by the name of Peter Schreyer. He overlooks all of the design, and just about every designer in the team is Italian, and they've worked at some of the big design houses in Italy, like Bertone and like Pininfarina, the companies that design Lamborghinis and Ferraris, cars like that. So these guys understand, and girls, by the way, not just guys, there's plenty of ladies involved in the design team as well. They understand how to make a car look stylish, and I think that's been a big part of where Hyundai and indeed Kia have gone over the last few years. And Kia actually stole a bit of a march on Hyundai because they had this Peter Schreyer guy involved before Hyundai did. So Kia's started to look really premium and expensive European before Hyundai did. So then Hyundai incorporated it all under one roof. And as a result, their cars look amazing now as well.
It is a really good-looking car. I mean, I think it's a real art, isn't it? And especially in the small car market where a lot of first-time buyers as well. A big factor is a car that looks good, let alone the right price.
Yeah, absolutely. I think styling plays a big part, especially in a country like Australia where we're car fans. We love our cars. We're passionate about them. And the manufacturers talk about something called conquest buying. So what that means is they're going to get people buying the i30 from another brand. So they might have gone and looked at another brand. They want to get them into the Hyundai fold with the i30, but then importantly, they want to keep them. So as these people get older, get married, have children, and then eventually retire, they want to keep them within the Hyundai brand right the way through. So they want to provide something for them across the board that suits all of their needs. But that's also a styling thing as well, because it's one thing to say, yeah, it's got plenty of storage space or it's comfortable, but you've got to give them a vehicle that looks good as well. Overseas, we're impressed with it. We'll revisit that rating once we drive it on local roads. But on first look, big fans of it.
The next car is something completely different. It's the Land Rover Discovery, a seven-seater.
Yeah, this is a big, big deal for Land Rover because the Discovery, you'll often see Discoveries running around with a sticker on the back of them that says the world's most awarded four-wheel drive, and it is. It's won more awards around the world than any other four-wheel drive ever. Every time we put a Discovery 4 or the last Discovery that we're familiar with into a comparison test with anything else, it usually wins and wins convincingly. So for Land Rover to have to redesign this vehicle and really revolutionise it, because, you know, the old Discovery's been around for a long time and it's got boxy styling, which is not that popular anymore in terms of the way designers are going. For Land Rover to have to redesign that vehicle is a big, big deal. And I've got to be honest with you, I wouldn't want that weight on my shoulders if I was a designer having to do it. So this needs to be an excellent vehicle. It needs to be capable off-road, but it needs to look a certain way as well. And If you go to caradvice.com, you can have a look at the photos and make your own mind up on whether you like the look of it or you don't.
I don't like it, Trent.
Nah, you don't.
I'm making a call. I don't like it.
You know, so
you don't like
it? No, it looks like it looks like a cube of Play-Doh, and then they've just cut out the windscreen. That's what it looks like to me.
Are we 1-1 in the studio or 2-0 that we don't
Jules?
Like?
I prefer it to the old boxy sort of rugged-looking one. The problem there, though, is, I mean, the perception is the more rugged they look, you can drive it better off-road, but this thing handles pretty well off-road, even though it looks a little more sleek.
Yeah, look, I'm not really sold on it. I did like the old styling, and I don't love this new styling. I think from the back, particularly, the weird lines on the tailgate and the lights look a little strange to me. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the styling. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, Land Rover has such rusted-on fans that love the product that, you know, if you don't give them what they expect and you don't give them what they're wanting, you're going to struggle to sell them the vehicle. So they're going to have to hope that people actually like the look of this thing, that's for sure.
So you've given that an 8.5, despite not liking the look of it. Well, how do you rate girls?
Yeah, she's ugly, but I'll give her a 9. Yeah. I mean, it's, look, I think, yeah, it's we've given it an 8.5 because it's particularly capable, and it's certainly engineering-wise and dynamically, it's better than the one it replaces. So I think we've given it that. And then again, we're going to have revisit that number once we put it in some comparison tests and see if it stands out from the competition as much as the old one did. But I think in terms of that blend of on-road ability, off-road capability, practicality, you know, proper third-row seating for people, I think, yeah, it deserves the 8.5 on paper, but we need to have a closer look at it once we get it in Australia.
Right, we love it when you do comparisons, and it's a couple of smaller cars this time, and it's the Holden Spark LT, which I've never heard of, I must admit, and then, speaking of weird-looking cars, the Suzuki Ignis.
The Ignis.
Well, look, I have to declare something here. This comparison was done purely just so people don't accuse us of driving supercars all the time. We actually weren't interested in the comparison at all. No, that's not true. look, you probably are familiar with the Spark. You just remember it being called a Barina. So,
Is that right?
That was my first car, the Barina.
It was my second car, the Barina.
Yeah, you just every little bit that you reveal about your motoring history, you just let yourself down a little bit more, don't you? The Barina used to be called the Barina Spark, or the Spark used to be called the Barina Spark, and it was a smaller vehicle that sat below the conventional Barina that we know. So it's been around before, and I think what's interesting is this segment now is very important to people in cities and built-up areas because tiny little cars that are easy to park have a real impact for us and make our lives easier, so people are genuinely interested in them. You're talking about well under 15 grand for these cars at the start of the range. And the Ignis is sort of the new player in the field. So the Spark's been around for a little while. The Ignis has only just been released. And Suzuki has always traditionally had a real foothold in this part of the market because people love small Suzukis and they're synonymous with that brand. So I think the fact that we've given them both 7.5 out of 10 and they're very, very close on paper and in terms of the driving shows just how competitive that segment is. So we were talking about, you know, first car buyers before, but if you're talking about people who are just starting out and buying their first vehicle, you've really, really got to compete hard for their money. And this segment shows just how competitive it is now.
We both talked about the Barina being our first and second car, respectively. But as a kid, you talk about small cars in the Suzuki range. I remember being in love with the Suzuki Mighty Boy. Do you remember that?
I do. Yes. I've actually, if I make a confession to you, I've actually been looking on online recently to try and find one to buy. And
are they hard to come by, are they?
Money. Yeah, very hard to come by, and they're quite a collector's item now. Yeah, so I do remember the Mighty Boy. Very cool little sort of tiny little ute.
I couldn't fit in one, Luke.
You have to look at this Ignis, though. For everybody at home, you can see it on caradvice.com, the Suzuki Ignis. It looks like a Lego car to me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, it's a funny-looking little thing. We've actually got a long-term one in our office in Sydney, and it's a red body with a black roof, and it actually looks pretty cool, to be honest. It just looks different, and it's something that'll stand out a little bit. And I think, you know, like we've seen with things like the Smart that were around a few years ago, I think in this segment, when you've got what, you know, for want of a better term, funky little cars, I think it makes sense to have them a bit weird and wacky, strange styling, crazy colours, because that'll attract people to them, I reckon.
For sure. Well, you can see it all on caradvice.com. Trent, we'll chat to you next week where we'll reveal some more embarrassing secrets from our past.
Indeed.
Looking forward to it, boys.
Have a good week. There he is, Trent Nikolic from caradvice.com.